Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Roundtable, PRT for short. My name is Josh Turner, also known as Wolf. I'm your host, and with me tonight is my co-host. He's not here tonight. It's going to be Chief and Nelly. They're going to be joining me tonight. If you don't know, Chief is my wife, and Nelly is my best friend. Just kidding. Chief is nowhere near my best friend, so that's not even an opposite thing. Chief's just a good guy, and Nelly's my wife. If y'all want to say hello.
And Mushu has a skinny butt because I can't fit in this thing right here.
We are in the studio. We're in the studio, and Tony has to work tonight. He cannot be with us tonight, so Chief's going to be filling in, and Nelly is going to come on and talk. We've had a lot of people requesting them to come back, and we'll see if it was a mistake or not. So Chief comes on the show.
The children of the jungle.
The children of the jungle. Yeah.
The children of the quarantine.
The many abused children of the jungle.
That's what's going on.
So here's what happened. Chief hits me up, and he tells me that he wants to come on the show. My first reaction was no. I mean, why? Why would I want you to come? And then he tells me that if I don't let him come on the show, he's going to put a Kachina voodoo doll curse on me. You want to tell him about the Kachina doll?
The Kachina doll, if we refer back to, I don't know if it was Mexican folklore part one or the haunting in South Austin, which is a completely different entity. But
both of the episodes you were on.
Right.
Yeah.
But when I moved out back in the day, well, one of the times, I think it might have been the final time that I moved out because, I don't know, it was kind of like a orphanage for the at-risk.
Wayward.
At-risk young man.
violent, wayward young land pirates.
Yeah, there you go, land sharks.
Yep.
It was very much John Tunstall kind of old school young guns kind of, you know, if you were here, you made your way.
Young boys.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't doing that. Most of these guys were my age.
Your weight. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, if you're around here, you pulled your weight. But no, I moved out and I left some of my stuff. And
Folks, here's what happened. I'm just going to give it to you straight. He left a satanic voodoo Kachina doll in my house to spread its evil tentacles and give people sleep paralysis and nightmares.
And Wolf's face at night.
Yeah, exactly. And so it something really weird happened to Taz, and something happened to him, and something was like zapping his face, if I remember correctly. And then as my brother began to poke fun at him about it, it happened to him too. And so I pinpointed it with my lucky and trusty EMF reader. I'm just kidding. I didn't have one of those, and still don't. But I went in the room, and I just said, it's probably this ugly thing that Chief left, and I put it in a box with his other ugly things, and I decided to take it out to his place. He was living way out in the country with Loki at that time, and so I dropped it off. And whatever evil spirits were in the vehicle with me, I could feel them, like, malevolently, like, right there. My skin was crawling all the way out there, and it was, like, literally – you know,
is it crawling now?
Not really, because I mean, I don't feel, you know, I feel safe.
I call it Janice.
Well, that's cool that you call it names and stuff like that. That's all. It's all good. So he brings this thing into my studio, and I'm protected. I'm fine. I'm not worried about it. Everybody's fine. But Chief, you're the one that was really late getting here, and I thought, wow, if he's bringing that, I don't know. So you bring it into the studio, and you know, I was just thinking, I hope he's okay, but he brought it on himself. I mean, you know, he's hanging out with that thing. So he brings this ugly thing, and then let me tell you what, for a while after that, the really bad stuff stopped, and at least for a little while anyway. And then I guess, you know, it got reorganized and figured out who the new leader was going to be, and it started up again with their stuff in that house. But I dropped it back off. Now, shortly after I dropped it off, Chief, didn't you say something was going on?
I mean, we'd have just, you know, we'd have a nuisance here and there, just like a little sounds and stuff not where it's supposed to be and stuff flying off the wall.
Well, yeah, because you had the dolls around it fell onto the ground the first time you put it back up
there. Well, it seems to be territorial, I guess.
It has to have its own show.
I guess. I mean, I don't want to put an X in any of your stuff and then...
Well...
You know, bill me.
Yeah, my stuff would eat that thing. I got enough artifacts in here from the ancient history that I'll probably eat that thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking Egyptian, Greek, everything.
Yeah.
So that anyways, that's a story behind his little ugly Kachina doll. And he brought it over here so he could, you know.
Take a picture. We could put it on the cover.
Yeah, he could say hi or whatever.
Episode cover.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. Chief also, if anybody doesn't know, he's a tattoo artist. And you are
an out of work tattoo artist right now.
Well, you're and your second job is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach. So he teaches Brazilian jiu-jitsu and he's a tattoo artist. So he's doubly out of work.
Double out of work. Yeah. Like, hey, man, next time, I'm double unemployed, man. Let me get in line here.
So yeah. Chief is an unemployed individual right now until the whole thing lifts. But so we want to send a shout out to your buddy that runs the BJJ school.
Oh, my professor up the in owner. He's up in Colorado, Arcanum. He's the owner of Arcanum Combat Jiu-Jitsu. He's up in Colorado. We're starting a team up there, and we're going nationwide. I guess we got a team up there. Got a team here now. My mentor up in Dallas, Carlos Machado, both my mentors. My squad over at Ink Empire here in Austin.
And Ray Anthony.
My professor Ray Anthony. He's up in Colorado. He's also got Behind the Veil Society. Check out our page on Facebook. It's another no judgment zone. If you got any paranormal or conspiracies or anything that's just like, hey, what the heck? Feel free to post or leave it on our page. We'll give you our feedback.
Yeah, and we tend to stay away from conspiracies on our page because, you know, we like our Google ads. So anyway, if you want to check that out, it's called Behind the Veil, and you can check it out. Also, they run a pretty tight school, and they're BJJ guys, and they're pretty good at what they do. Chief, also teaching. I saw a video of you teaching your kids the other day. You were like throwing them around and body slamming them, putting them in headlocks. I was impressed.
That wasn't class. That was just chilling.
I know. I was impressed at how easily you, especially the little one, how easily you beat him up. I mean, what is he, five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and three, bro. Yeah. Both of them.
I saw that. You were like, they tried to tag team you. You got them. It was a tough struggle, right, but you got them.
They're pretty crafty, bro. Right off the top bunk, man. But you know,
I saw that the people's elbow you gave to the older one. He tried to get involved. You want some too? You gave him the smackdown.
There is no discretion, whether it's age or gender.
I can see that.
That's why they call them the people's elbow.
The people's elbow. Yes,
they belong to the people.
You were calling out your bolita on there the other day. You were like, you want some too?
No, I don't do that. No.
I'm messing with you. So anyways, folks, that's what's going on with Chief and his life. So if you want to send Chief donations or whatever, like some kind of negasada plates or whatever, you want some street tacos.
The occasional post on the encounters or on the lounge from...
Here's what I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
You just got back from Corpus, right?
I just got back from the ranch.
Yeah, out near Corpus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I got for you. I got a story I can start right now. I'll jump right into a story. Right outside of Mathis.
Okay? Oh, that's about kind of the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably about 20 miles away from Mathis, 25 miles.
So here's what I got. I got a guy who's claims that he was coming home from work late at night from Whataburger. Okay.
Okay.
And I guess he was going from Robstown to Mathis, or like his girlfriend lived in Robstown. He was going from Mathis to Robstown, or vice versa, okay. Something like that. I can't remember which one it was. I'm sorry, sir. I can't remember exactly. Been a while.
Probably Robstown to Mathis. I don't know if there's a Whataburger in Mathis.
I think it's a Robstown. The Whataburger's in Robstown, but he was working at a Whataburger there, according to him, years ago.
Okay.
This was several years ago, and he said that he was starting to fall asleep. He was a young man. He was a teenager, and he was starting to fall asleep because he was so tired, but he wanted to see his girlfriend, so... And she was complaining and whining, and you don't talk to me no more. I'm gonna dump you.
You don't pay no attention to me.
Eduardo's been looking at me, and so he's like, "Okay, Maria, I'll go see you, even though I worked all night and I'm tired." So, anyways, he goes over there, sleepy, tired.
I pull a double, and then you want me to come pull a triple?
Yeah, you
want
to go over there, and I gotta make you a triple meat before I go to bed. So he goes over there and to make her a delicious Whataburger, whatever. And so what ends up happening is he's on his way home.
I say no mustard.
And And he, so this is what happened. So he's driving home and something ran across the road as he got, she lived pretty much outside of the town. So he went like out into one of these county roads. I can't remember which one he said it was. And he was driving down one of those county roads out there and something really big and black was on the side of the road as he was driving. And he said he could see it on the right side of the road as he was approaching it. And he said that it was one of those little two-lane county roads, a little windy and everything. And he said it was standing up. And for a minute, he thought it was like a man standing on the side of the road. Then he got closer and he saw that it was all black. So he thought this guy's wearing like a black jumpsuit.
Capancho. Oh.
Yeah. But then the head, when he got closer, he thought he had like a weird looking cap on. He realized that it was like the only way he could describe it was like a black panther standing on its hind legs. Standing up like literally like a black panther with its paws and arm, what he called paw like arms, which is I don't know what that's supposed to look like, but paw like arms. Okay, so arms with paw. I can only think that that's what he was trying to write.
Well, the boy had arms like my paw.
so he had like its paws and arms outstretched, and as he drove by this thing, it like at the last minute, like it got down on all fours as he was going by it, like it wasn't like paying attention to him, and then it turned, and he saw it clearly. As he drove right by it, he said it made eye contact with it, and the eyes were red. He said it gave off like its own glow, like red eyes, and then it got down on all fours and ran across the road, and he said in an awkward gait. And I didn't actually speak to this guy. I just got his story. So that's what he wrote me. And so when I asked him to respond or whatever, he said that he saw it in the rearview mirror, like go across the road, and it looked like a weird shaped panther, like a black panther.
Hmm.
So have you heard anything like that, Chief? Have you seen anything like that when you were sober?
Cadejo, maybe? With red eyes? No red eyes?
Yeah, he said it had red eyes.
Possibly a Cadejo, man.
Yeah, but Cadejo would be like a wolf type.
Only
creature,
thing, right? Yeah, Cadejo is not really a
like a black dog.
Allegedly, it's not feline-esque. So
no,
I don't know. I haven't heard. I mean, I've heard about black panthers in South Texas because they come up from Mexico. You know,
the jaguars,
but not they're not panthers or jaguars. You're correct, but not. Not anything standing on its hind legs.
Hind legs.
You know. And I don't really think. I don't. Can an animal that stand. I know that a cat could probably stand on its hind legs for a little while, but would its posture be broken if its hands were out?
I can tell you this. Like if I grab Panther, my cat, and I hold him up by his front paws, he'll stand on his hind legs for a little while until he bites me, which is about 10 seconds.
Right,
until he starts biting you. That's about as long as a cat stands.
The eyewitness says that it had his arms out, you know?
Yeah, he said that he saw these paw-like arms, which I don't know what he's referring to.
What I'm saying is like when a cat's standing up on its hind legs, if it outreaches its paw, that's going to break its posture.
Mm-hmm. And he said it was like arms.
Oh, bipedal cat man. No, I mean... I've been working on some stuff on County Road 666 or County Road 665 down there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could probably go from Robstown to Mathis on 665 or 666, but I don't, as of right now, I don't have any stories as far as a bipedal cat.
But do you have stories from that region, though?
There's lore. There's Cadejo lore out there.
Tell us about the Cadejo lore that you have out there.
Cadejo sightings, dog, it really correlates. No feet, floating, red eyes, common report, and then time warps. Allegedly, there's a time warp.
Yeah,
one.
That's true. Yeah, tell me this though, and Nelly, you give me your input too. If this person is to be believed, and I think that he gave me a story. I mean, he seems like a pretty good guy. He said that's the only weird thing that's ever really happened to him. And he said that it happened a long time ago. And he's now like, you know, in his 30s or whatever. But do you think that this thing could be something that's related to the Cadejo? Say the Cadejo is supposed to be like a shapeshifter. Like it can appear as different forms, but they're almost always canine. Could it have appeared to him as a Black Panther type entity?
I mean, it was 12 in the morning.
Yeah, it was late. He said it was like, yeah, 12 in the morning.
No sun out. What if it was a dog man and he saw a cat?
Yeah, he was really tired.
Tired.
Falling asleep because Maria made him go all the way out there.
He got him mad, so he got a stone. I don't know, you know?
Well, and then I asked him, too. I said, you know, Whataburger has those delicious milkshakes. You weren't putting some of Grandpa's cough syrup in there with it, were you? And he was like, no, I was just tired. He goes, but that woke me right up. And he goes, and I hauled butt, you know, as fast as I could, you know, not the words he used, but he's like, I drove out there as fast as I could. He typed me that and said, I'm not, you know, I didn't even look back after I saw it. Then the rearview mirror, boy, I was gone. He said it wasn't really, it didn't appear to be interested in him, but he said when he looked at its face, now this part's kind of freaky. When he drove by it, and he turned his head and he made eye contact with it. He said it had its mouth wide open. But he said it almost looked like it was yawning. Like how a dog or a cat would yawn, you know? Like it was very disinterested, but it gave him an evil menace and kind of turned its head and watched him, you know, go. And then after that, it turned its head back. And, you know, and then he could see it like in the rearview mirror, like it still was staring at him. And then it turned its head and then jumped down and ran on all fours across the road. It made no effort to hide itself or to try to, like, it didn't really care.
Just nonchalantly.
Very nonchalant.
Hmm.
Now, I have not gotten too many stories about Native Americans turning into black jaguars. I mean, the skinwalker typically is like a wolf or a coyote.
Right.
Sometimes a deer. But I have never heard of one doing it. But I suppose that if you choose that as the animal to become or whatever, I guess if that's what that could be what it was. I mean, some type of skinwalker entity or something like that.
What was the I wanted to ask you the question I've been wanting to ask you for a while was, do you believe there's a correlation between the skinwalker and the what's the other guy, what's the skinwalker and the
Ed McMahon?
Not Ed.
You are correct, sir.
Howard Cosell.
This is Howard Cosell. There's no connection between me and the Skinwalker. Go Jets.
There's no connection between me and O.J. Simpson.
So you think, is there a connection between the Kadejo, you said?
No, the skinwalker and the, what's the witch, the other witch, the witch.
La Chusa.
No, not the La Chusa. The native, normally it's like a skull with like a hide or it'll hide in an animal carcass.
Mm.
What's the other, the witch, the Native American lore?
I have no idea what witch you're talking about. I mean, there's...
Wendigo.
The Wendigo. That's not really a witch, though. That's somebody who became a cannibal, supposedly. That's somebody who became a cannibal, and they, you know, they ate human flesh, and then they're doomed to be like that. Now, I know if you go to, I think it's Lon Strickler's Monsters and Mysteries, if you go there, they actually have a story that I read in one of his, you know, things or whatever, his blogs, about a creature called Penelope. And when he was on my show, we talked about that. And it was in the Sierra Nevadas, and it was a very terrifying creature that these two campers, his father and his son, they, luckily for them, they were glamping. They had an RV, which is how I would like to camp.
Well, glamorous camping.
Yeah, they just go and they park the RV, and it's basically living at home, but out with woods around you.
Right on.
So they saw this thing standing outside
their Netflix and grill.
Basically, yeah. And they had, like, it was standing outside in front of their RV. They heard it shriek, and they go out and they see it, and they said it was like 8 foot tall, and it was pale, yellowish gray flesh, stringy hair, long hook nose. It looked really witch like. It was very scary and evil. And the next day they were gone. They were, you know, terrified, so they took off. But the story I remember is something about they stayed there through the night and they just hid. You know, they were scared because whatever. I mean, I would have like probably left right then. But then I guess they had stuff outside of the camper. So, I mean, you know, but I probably would have just left it and gone to academy.
We're not leaving without my Yeti, Becky.
Yeah, I would have left the Yeti and I would have gone and got some other stuff at the academy when I came back. I wouldn't care. You know, that's fine. Take it. I mean, if I saw something like that, we're gone. That's it. We're done.
This is the Yeti's Yeti now.
Yeah. She can have it. She can put her cerveza in it. So,
yeah, so you don't think there's a correlation or
between the Wendigo and the Skinwalker? Yes. That's a good question because a lot of people make a distinction, but some of the descriptions of Skinwalkers, This is the part I don't understand. Now, you'll go on Facebook and any of these groups, and you'll get in arguments if you make some sort of like suggestion that a Wendigo is a skinwalker, because to me, I think it just depends on the tribe. You know, like I think that the Menominee and some of the other tribes up north, they'll tell you what a skinwalker is a little more like a Wendigo. And because I had a friend that was Menominee, told me that. Now, I don't know if that's the gospel truth or if he was just messing with me, but he told me that, you might remember him. His name was Phil. You remember the guy who used to work with us? He was a big Native American dude. He used to hang out with Jerome all the time. You maybe not remember him, but anyways, he was telling me stories about the difference between a skinwalker and a Wendigo is nothing really to them, because it's the same creature, according to him. But, you know, I don't know that all Menominee are going to say the same thing, but according to what he believed or was led to believe. And I do know that the Wendigo is typically from the northern tribes, because it's like a creature from the ice and snow. And the Navajo in particular are the skinwalkers. They believe in the skinwalkers. The Utes believe in the skinwalker. They believe that these things can change shape or whatever. And so, but they can both look like deer. Like they can take on the facade of the veneer, whatever you want to call it, of a deer. And so that's the only difference I can think of. But that is a question that I've thought of on my own. Is what the difference is between the two. And I think that the difference really is just the tribes, you know, and what they do. You know, one of them is supposedly that way all the time. It's stuck that way.
Okay.
And the other one is a constant shapeshifter.
Shoot, my people won't even talk about it.
Who are your people?
Lepan and Goilatek.
Yeah, the Lepan. Yeah.
They won't even talk about it.
I thought you were going to say the Maynard Mustangs.
Oh, yeah, my Maynard people out there.
Well, here's a funny thing, folks.
My goat.
Yeah.
Goat man people.
Yeah, the Maynard, people don't know this, but Will Barger Bridge, Barger Creek is known for the goat man in your hometown. And growing up, now I knew that there was supposedly a legend out near New Sweden. We talked about that before. Of a goat man that would stalk the roads, and they would run out there and like jump and attack people's cars. And they said it looked like a goat,
which is just the other side of the highway anyway.
Pretty much. Yeah. But now there's so much traffic on 290 that he's just picked one side and stayed on it.
He's out. Yeah.
he's a permanent resident of the other side now. He's like, I don't really go to the creek anymore, guys. I might get hit.
Right.
Tim, what kind of goat man terrorist are you if you're not going to cross the road?
Bridge? What bridge?
It looks kind of dangerous, Dad. I'm just saying it's much safer to play PS4 and stay in the cave. I mean, why go out there and terrorize people? Because that's what we do, Tim. That's what we do.
You're no son of mine.
You're no son of mine. I know that the goat man stories. Now, I have one story about that. It's very brief. Okay. It's very brief. There was somebody that was telling me that they were going, and it was right there by New Sweden where the church is at, and that they saw, this is weird. This guy's from my hometown, from Taylor. So, you know, he knows what a dog man looks like, because they don't call it a dog man, but they know what a werewolf looks like. But he was driving by, and he said right there by that church, that it was something was squatted down in the parking lot. It looked like it was like messing with something on the ground, like messing with rocks. And he said that the upper body was like of a man, and the head was almost like a goat-like head. And he saw these little horns, and he said that it was squatted down, and the legs looked goat-like. And he said it was gray. But, you know, with the moonlight and then the little bit of light in that parking lot, it could have been anything. So I don't know what it was. He said it looked up at him and his girlfriend, and that was it. That's the only thing I got from as far as that area is a goat man.
Were they walking or were they driving?
Well, they weren't walking. It probably would have ran out and attacked him, you know? I mean, and I base that on the skit we just did where Tim's dad was getting onto him, so he probably feel obligated to go out. I'm just kidding. No, seriously. I mean, I don't think he'd be too calm about it if it was just walking with his girlfriend. And why would he be walking down, was it 973?
He's
walking down 973 with all that traffic going by.
The goat man's like, come back.
I didn't get a chance to love you. You know, wait.
I never got
a chance to love you.
I'm Tim.
That wouldn't be white goat. That would be white lion, folks.
I'll be back.
So anyways, that's what happened with that. Like, they drove by and they saw it. It was just right there. And so I don't know. And that was on the right side of the road, too. So, folks, if you're driving down anywhere in Texas, just don't look to the right side of the road. You'll be fine. So, that being said, Chief, you had something that you wanted to talk about. You want to explain to that? Explain this to the folks at home what this is?
Oh, we got La Zona de Silencio, which is actually a request per one of our listeners, YouTube listener Chris F. That's a weird...
Chris Frankenstein.
That's a weird a weird coincidence there, I guess. But mine's with a K. His is with a C. C-H-R-I-S.
Yeah, because you're K-F.
Right.
K-F.
So we got La Zona de Silencio, which is a zone, which is quote unquote Mexico's Bermuda Triangle.
And folks at home, Zona de Silencio, we're gonna tell you what that means.
That means zone of silence, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Zone of silence.
Yeah. Okay.
400 miles south of El Paso, 25 miles south from a town of Ceballos, Mexico. There's a 30-mile radius of desert where meteors just fall irregularly.
Irregularly?
Irregularly. I'm talking like on the daily.
Okay, so meteors. It's regularly then.
Well, on the regular, but there it's irregular.
It's regular. Because okay, of the frequent. There's no pattern.
Right.
Okay, all right. So irregularly, but they fall.
They fall regularly, but it's irregularly the frequency of, you know what I mean? It's
okay, not, I get it.
You know, but the zone of silence is also the epicenter of just bizarre and paranormal stuff going on down there.
Like what? Like volcanoes and lizard people?
No, but that would be cool.
Well, that's the land of the lost.
That's underground bunkers.
So what?
Reptilians?
So what's
that's a whole other show.
It is. So what's happening with this place?
Any instrument... instruments malfunction, radio malfunction, radio silence, hence the zone of silence.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Nelly was saying that compasses not working. Compasses, I guess, magnetic.
Are these compasses, are they made in China? Because that's probably why.
I'm pretty sure they've tried to made in China and Taiwan. And I'm pretty sure they've tried just about any kind of instrument there.
They've tried every kind and none of them are working.
I don't know. I want to get... No, I'm interested in the whole...
You got to ask your witnesses, like, what kind of compass were you using?
So call NASA. Were you guys using Chinese instruments out there? I need to know.
So tell me this. This place, and I've heard of this place, but I have done absolutely no research on it, or very little, I should say. So what you uncovered was that that supposedly these people, they will see aliens, right? Like blonde-haired aliens?
Oh, yeah, it's reported there's a bleach blonde and pale-skinned trio, one male. No, wait, two males and one female
mm-hmm.
that tend to frequent the zone and show up. You know, people allegedly, there was a couple that was in a flood, and these people showed up and helped them.
What do you mean they were in a flood?
There was a flood in the zone of silence. I believe 1946, and there's a couple that got stuck out there in a flood, and this trio showed up and pulled them out of the flood, out of the car.
Wow.
And there's another story about a gentleman that had his car starts malfunctioning because of... It's a zone of silence, of course, you know?
So is that something that happens there? Like, if you're driving through it, like your car could just break down and not work?
Right.
And it's electrical. It's a battery.
Right. It's electrical. It's a battery. So, that's weird. I mean, all of that needs polarity.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I was working in a place like that when I was working at, they were building it down South Austin. It's called something else now, but at the time it was called Waterstone. And I never forget, like, my batteries, my watch battery, the battery on my freaking... TV, I had a little portable TV, my battery, my truck, they all kept going dead. So, yeah, it was really crazy. So, that is something to that.
I think that's a weird, I mean, I know that it's funny how sometimes you'll have people that report, they'll report some kind of paranormal going on, whether it be spiritual or something like with the earth or polarity or just some kind of phenomenon that you cannot explain. But a lot of times when there's something going on, like a ghost or a poltergeist, the same kind of thing happens, you know, especially with a lot of your paranormal investigators, some of their instruments won't work. Or not even investigator, just people that are dealing with the experiment.
They'll malfunction.
Experience, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, did you record it? Well, I tried to, but nothing, you know, nothing.
No, but I did get slapped.
No, heard- but a light fixture did smack me.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Yes, folks. Yes, in episode 2, we talk about a light fixture hitting me in the head. So Chief actually thinks that's quite humorous. Everybody does but me.
And Janice right here likes to push the other objects off the shelf.
What? So...
I heard that birds won't fly over the zone. I heard that birds won't fly over the zone.
Oh, silence. That's right.
So anyways, the zone of silence, it's in Mexico. And and there's 3 blonde-haired people from Telemundo that show up there and rescue people. I'm
they believe
kidding.
They're the Nordics.
3 blonde-haired people. Well,
yeah, they would be Nordics. Yeah, that's weird.
Sábado Gigante.
So what are these people, like, they show up if you have car trouble?
It's like the AAA of... Northern Mexico.
It's the AAA of paranormal world.
AAA.
There's a lot of alien activity out there and UFO sightings.
Like what?
Nightly lights in the sky. There'll be dancing lights. So, well, you know, it's not a meteor. It's not
allegedly,
a falling star.
When they do frequent the zone, that if you ask them where they're from, they'll reply from above. So I'm thinking that Nelly is right on the money with that. So.
They don't say La Farmacia, El Mercado.
Oh, yeah.
Hasta aquí.
You know, down the road, you make a right where the carniceria is right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we live right there.
Right there.
By the witch doctor.
Yeah. So they don't come out and say something like that. So, okay. So they say they're from the sky?
Above.
From above.
From above.
Above.
Oh, man. From above. That's crazy.
I mean, it was discovered in 1930 when Mexican pilot Francisco Sarabia flew over the zone and all of his instruments just began to fail. So he had the emergency land.
That's so weird. I wonder what's going on with this place.
That's got to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it says that there's like meteors fall there like rain.
So. And why? And that's another thing too. Why are meteors falling?
Well, the animals that are there seem to be born with abnormalities.
Abnormalities. they mentioned mutated animals.
Mutations, yeah.
They also mentioned that a meteor landed in the same exact spot 16 years apart from each other, once in 1938 and once in 1954. So I mean, what kind of gravitational pull does the Earth have right at that spot?
That is so weird. And if it wasn't in Mexico and I didn't care about getting my head cut off, I'd go and check it out.
Maybe it's void of electric currents or something, like static in the air. That's why birds won't fly over there. I don't know.
Well, birds would probably, if they're, because you know how they have a compass north and south. So if they fly through it, maybe they lose their way and they just fall down. So that's why they don't, you know.
But I don't know. My theory is that the magnetism, that perhaps if you're flying over it, whatever phenomenon is occurring there is that intelligent that it knows to turn the magnetism off. So that's why your instruments go crazy, so you don't get sucked down to the earth. I mean, how frightening is that? You're flying over the zone of silence, and then your freaking plane is getting sucked to earth like a magnet pulling, you know, like a tractor beam, you know? Just a theory.
So are there any other odd things or abnormalities?
1970 Athena rocket incident. A rocket that was launched from, I think it was Green River, Utah. It was launched from Green River, Utah, and programmed to land in White Sand, New Mexico. And then it was pulled off of course, overshot its mark by 844 miles, wow, landing in the zone of silence. So that's a prime example right there. This thing has caused a experimental rocket from Green River, Utah, and sucked it all the way to Mexico.
Wow.
You know?
That's crazy.
Can you imagine being on that rocket?
I don't think... I think it's kind of rocket it was.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you would explode.
Well, you know...
You grow up.
Can you... Oh, man, I don't know. There was some black smoke all over the sky.
That's crazy.
I think that was the beginning scene of La Bamba.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was, bro.
Well,
poor kid was just tying his shoe and then
looks up
trying to bench press a damn Cessna.
There's a plane going. Yeah, that's crazy. What's his brother's name? The one that's like, you always liked him best.
That's Richie Bob,
was,
bro.
Bob. Bob was the one.
I feel like Richie and Bob sometimes.
Really?
Yes.
No, I don't.
At the same time.
I don't. I feel like.
I mean, I can't play the guitar or anything, but.
I feel like their mom always having to get on to people. So that is that all there is to this, or is there more?
That's what I mean. In 64, you had Pemex, who was mapping the zone for possible pipeline location experiment. They experienced radio malfunctions while they were trying to map out the area. So I guess that's why we don't have a pipeline going through there.
Wow. And
Pemex, that's, I guess you can say that's Exxon in Mexico.
Yeah.
So
that's crazy. I mean, that dang, now I want to check it out, but I kind of don't.
Yeah, I want to look into
the what I want to know is what is the correlation of the three blondes and my stuff malfunctioning?
The three Norwegian people that are living over there in that area, and they're just being nice and neighborly.
Just three Greenlandic.
Yeah, no, they're from Norway. They're like, we're just Nordic. Here to help. So my cousins, Van and Bjork.
They're like, we're descendants of Vikings, and we're here to smash your skull and drink out of them.
But first, let me help you get your battery fixed, because it seems like you're in a bit of a pickle.
I think it's more German. That sounded more German.
Well, no, I mean, the German would be like this. Nah, I'm not going to help you, okay? You got yourself in, and you get yourself out. We prop up all of you up now. It's not fair.
We drink copious amounts of beer.
Yeah, and then... Of course, though, and the Mexicans, they are driving Adobe cars out there now.
I mean, that's
fine German engineering and good old Mexican know-how, and it brings you the Adobe.
Hey, Germans and Mexicans have whipped up some nice stuff, bro.
Well, like New Braunfels, it's all German and Mexicans whipping it up. I mean,
Dos Equis.
You got the Adobe car, folks. Go out there and check it out, man.
It's three German brewmasters, and one of them passed, and that's why it's Dos Equis and not Tres Equis.
That's right.
I figured it out.
Yeah, that's right. You're right, actually. They were German brewmasters.
That is.
The two things that the Germans gave Mexico, and people don't know this, was beer and the accordion. Shame on you. Shame on you. For the accordion? Come on, man.
And the occasional blonde hair and blue eyes.
That was actually Spaniards, too, that did that. So, yeah.
You know, every once Portuguese in a while, we Spaniards had like, you know, one of them.
Germans. But so that's weird. So we're gonna leave the zone of silence, folks, and we're gonna go to another place.
We're going to the zone of chaos.
And okay, that's that exists only in Chief's mind.
That exists only when my children are present. I'm kidding. I love you guys.
Go ahead, Nelly.
I don't know what to call it. An incident.
So is this you had a dog man story for us?
Yes, I do have.
But we're not talking about that. We're gonna talk about. The time slip, right?
I don't know what to call it. I've never heard of anything like that happening before.
Okay. Well, just tell the audience what happened.
Well, when I was a child, about probably 8 years old, 7 or 8 around there, it was a nice day, and my older sister wanted to gather us kids together so that we could go for a walk. And we grew up on a mountain in the homesteads, and so... We're like, okay, so it was in the middle of the day, and we had just, like, walked to the, it was on a dirt road. We walked to the dirt road, and we went to where the hill goes down on the road, and it goes into a dip, and then it comes back up, and we were just going to go walk through there. And when we walked down the hill a little ways from the house, on the left, there was what looked like someone had left, like, a Western movie set up, or... That's all I could think it was because there was nothing there before. And then it was just up. And we were walking in there. The dogs were running. Like, they were just running weird, you know? Like, when they're on the hunt, how their ears are perked up. They were like that. And I was like, where did this come from? And my sister, and it was my sister, my brother, and my other sister. And we're looking around. There was still water coming off the shot glasses, and you could see the liquor bottles. And I remember looking at this pole where this picture was. It wasn't a wanted sign. It was like a performer, you know, the women that would perform in the music,
yeah, uh-huh,
the piano hall, whatever. She was on the poster, and I was trying to read what was said, and I wanted to touch it. And I got this like intuition feeling, and I was like, don't touch anything. And right when I did it, you know, like I was just reaching for it anyways, because it was just so bizarre. And then all of a sudden I heard my sister Maria yell at us to not touch anything. Don't touch anything. And so I stopped, and she's like, back out slowly, just back out. And I was like, that's when I started to panic, and I started to get scared. So I turned around, and I just ran back to the road, because I just had this feeling that it was going to disappear, and I was going to disappear with it. And so I just ran back to the road, and I didn't want to look back. And then when she got us all together, and she said, let's go home. So we went to walk back up the hill, and I kind of looked back, and I could see a little bit of the wooden building. And then I just quickly looked forward again, because I didn't want to see it. And then we went back to the house, and my sister got my mother and said, we got to show you this. I want to show you what we found. And so we walked back with my mom, and it was gone. And all it was just bushes overgrown on the side of the road, like it should have been in the first place.
Where was this at?
This was in the Mojave Mountains, where the, I'd say, northwest of Edwards Air Force Base.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. Yep.
What year was this?
85, 84, somewhere around there, I believe.
You told me that before.
Did I?
Either you told me that before, so you're or like I just 8 years old. Weird deja vu. Like a weird.
I don't think I ever told you that.
I don't think we've ever
before.
Told you that. So you had a weird deja vu.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty creepy.
That's crazy. Yeah. So you're having deja vu, and you're talking about this old town that you're in.
Yes.
Maybe it was a past life chief, and you were like the stable boy.
Or the whipping
as
boy.
As you wish.
The whipping boy. Or like current life, the whipping boy. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
well,
man.
That wow. property out there that my parents had was bizarre. It was creepy. I remember walking out. I don't think this is paranormal, but for some reason, it just always stuck with me because it made me very uncomfortable. I had never noticed that area having anything burnt before. And I'd lived there, so I knew the area. But I found this thing, this little spot where it looked like there was someone had lit some stuff on fire. And it was like old. And then the metal that hadn't burnt was rusted. So it had been there for a while. And then I just found like some stuff in it, and it just seemed so bizarre. And it made me very uncomfortable, so I never went back to that area of the property because it just seemed really out there.
Did the lambs continue to cry, Clarice?
Well, folks, you at home can if you got any stories about missing time or anything like that, because I've gotten a few actually over the years of these places that are like. They're there, and then they're not there, and I'm you know, I don't know what they are. I don't know what it is. I could tell you about three or four of them right now. We don't have enough time, but it's very bizarre. That's all I can tell you.
There was a report about a time slip on La Homa Road, down in South Texas, down in McAllen, Texas.
Oh, so Chief, why don't you tell us about that? Tell us about that story.
Yeah, there was an encounter about two friends that were driving down La Homa Road, and there was a big, huge black mass. You know what? I think we touched on it in part of the black mass. We were talking about the old house, the old hauntings at the house. But back to the time slip, these guys are cruising down La Homa Road, and this massive black cloud kind of engulfs the car. Once the cloud finishes kind of drifting over the car, they go from nighttime to same road, different time frame, but in the day. So I remember him saying that, he was confused because he was cruising at night and now we're cruising at day different time frame because the road looked more rustic, more, I guess we went from pavement to a dirt road and barbed wire kind of deal. And then they cruised for minutes, and then all of a sudden, another black cloud kind of engulfs the car, and they're back on the Houma Road, present time, and we'll say present time frame, but not the same time. So there was a slip there. So it was 4 hours later, but it was dark. So they went into a whole nother time, a whole nother time slip, and came back, and it was later in the afternoon. The 4 hours had gone by.
So they lost time.
Right. So they were same place, different time during the day, and came back present time at nighttime, lost 4 hours down on La Houma Road. Now, and I've been, I guess you could say researching. I'm trying to see if anybody has any encounters because they're saying that there's a time slip down on County Road 666, County Road 665. And I frequent those all the time going from my mom's ranch from Alice, Texas to Corpus Christi, Texas.
Have you ever experienced that?
I haven't experienced anything out there. And it's weird because I frequent it. There's a few stories about the four-way stop out there. There's only 2 four-way stops out there. I've hit them both. I don't know how many times. On occasion, there's always somebody like at one of those stops. And I'm not trying to wait around to see what happens. So, but no, I'm just, if you have any tales about County Road 666, County Road 665, La Houma Road down in McAllen, please feel free to hit me up, guys, on Paranormal Encounters or Paranormal Lounge.
There was a story that I saw it on a show, and I hate to, you know, I can't remember the name of it because I don't, you know, I don't watch a lot of shows about stuff paranormal, and I don't read many, I don't get a lot of, I don't listen to podcasts or anything like that, hardly. But because I don't want to get the stories confused with, you know.
We don't want to regurgitate what they're saying.
Yeah, or just regurgitate, yeah. But there was a story that's similar to what you're talking about, where someone encountered a black mass, and they were a truck driver.
Like trucker. An 18-wheeler. I want to say, yeah. I heard that.
Yeah, and this was like in either in Arizona or Nevada, in the middle of the desert. It was in
Nevada, yes.
Yeah, and it was like a, they call it something, I can't remember the name of it, but that area is known for being like just like really bad. Is it
the Devil's Highway?
I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. And the guy said that he went through there and something enveloped his truck and it scared him really bad. And it was like, it was nighttime. And then he got out of that big black mass.
And it was daytime.
And it was daytime again.
And he was trying to outrun it.
He was trying to outrun it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming out from behind a mountain.
Yes.
He saw the mass come out from behind the mountain.
Yeah. You saw it?
Chasing him. I saw that same episode. Yeah, I can't remember.
I wonder what show that was. I can't remember. If anybody at home listening knows.
Maybe Unsolved.
Tell me what it was. No, it wasn't Unsolved Mysteries. I don't think it was anything, you know, it wasn't like that. But I mean, I remember that episode, though, and I remember the guy, you know, talking about it or whatever. God, I've collected so many stories, too. The only thing about black mass, I mean, like that when you're driving and it's enveloped, I had one story from someone that saw something like that. And here it is right here, folks. I'm going to say this. I don't know. If you live in Flagstaff, you should probably move. Because I get what it is. I was telling you, Nelly, remember, I was like, what is it with all these Flagstaff? Like, what is wrong with that place? I mean, I've heard Dogman. I've heard Giant Lizard, Haunted Hotel story where someone was literally attacked violently and thrown against a wall by an angry spirit.
Wow.
A researcher, a person that we know that's like a researcher. I'm not going to give their name, but they're in one of the groups. And they were doing an investigation. And something just grabbed them by their hair, pulled them out of the bed, and smacked them around and thrown them against the wall. And, you know.
Shout out to Aunt Choate.
It wasn't her. I'm not implying.
I'm just saying shout out.
And then they offered him a drink, researcher. And they're like, well, I don't mind if I do. And then they started drinking. He just wanted a little nip. That's all it was.
He just wanted to talk.
But that's not what I was going to tell you. This black mass story I got was just somebody that was driving into Flagstaff, and that when they were going into it, going towards it, they were actually going to go and go to the Grand Canyon, I guess, or something, or they were headed that way. And I can't remember every detail of it, but it was, they said that they went through a black mass and it did the same thing, but it was like they could see like it was at dusk, and they thought, wow, night is falling really quickly, you know?
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it just got really dark, and then it was like they came back out of it. I mean, nothing happened. I mean, they came back out of it, and it was still daylight.
Daytime.
They were like, what was that? And, right. and there was no, like, storm clouds or anything. It wasn't like it was about to storm or anything. So you got to wonder what the heck
it's like
that was.
Black sky.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they just, like, they went through it, and then, you know, nothing happened, you know, like, untoward. They just...
See, and I always wonder if maybe the mass is concentrated energy, because we used to see it at the house, but it wasn't as large as people say they see on the highways where they have time slips. Because we used to see that black...
Well, it wouldn't fit in our house.
Well, of course, right, but we used to see like a black little cloud in our house. Like
it was. It would float around, and that's not... We're not joking. I mean, I remember one time at the old, you know, where we were staying, that house was like... We had a Christmas tree up, a little bitty one, you know, and I remember like one year... I was coming out of my hallway, and Squid was like coming. He went was like walking right by, going past me, going into the hallway. And I remember both of us just looking, and we were like staring, and we saw this what looked like black smoke kind of floating around the base of the Christmas tree. And I was like, "What is that?"
Like the blackest smoke you ever seen.
Black. You know. And so I was like, "What is that?" And then I walked up towards it, and it dissipated. You know, and that was it. It was weird.
But I noticed, of course, the mass that people are talking about during the time slips are like massive big clouds that like completely engulf their car.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they follow them for miles. They stay on top of them for like miles and
that
miles.
That reminds me of what you told me, like the animals that run into a black cloud and they disappear.
Yeah, people, well, I can do a whole show on people seeing stuff like that. And then, you know, like when we were talking with David Weatherly, and he talked about these mammoths disappearing into the darkness. It was so weird. I mean, I don't know what that is. I would say that just folks stay away from black stuff. How about that? Black mass, don't go towards it. Black widow, don't go towards it. You don't need it. You don't need that in your life. You don't need that.
Black belt in jiu-jitsu, just let the guy alone, okay?
You know? I mean, it's just... kind of a warning sign from nature too, especially if it's black and red. You probably should just stay the heck
black
away.
Black widow, that. Black mamba.
Yeah. Things that are black and red are kind of a danger sign.
But. There's a black little black and red little frog.
Yeah,
little poisonous frog,
poison dart frog. All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. I thank Chief for coming on, Nelly for coming on. Y'all did a good job together. Y'all equaled Mushu, which shouldn't be hard to do anyway. But
you know. The Moosh.
Thanks.
I'm over here keeping his seat warm.
I'm just playing. So, folks, that's all the time we have for tonight. From everybody from the PRT team and the roundtable, we're going to send a shout-out to all of our people from our groups, all the people who subscribe, all the people who listen. Everybody out there, try to stay off of spaceships. Try to stay out of the trees where the Bigfoots are jumping out of. Try to stay out of the woods where the dogmen are chasing you. Stay out of the water where stuff's grabbing you.
No whistling at the Lachusa.
Don't whistle at Lachusa, okay? Good night.